The single most contaminated place on Earth is right here in our backyard. Most of our listeners will know that I'm talking about Hanford, the global birthplace of both nuclear power and nuclear bombs. During World War II, the area in eastern Washington was confiscated from Native tribes, including the Wanapum tribe, the Nez Perce, the Confederated Tribes of the Yakima Nation, and the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation, without their consent and without recompense. Long after the production of plutonium was decommissioned at the site, the soil and groundwater are still heavily contaminated with radioactive and toxic waste. Unless it is adequately cleaned up, eventually that waste will reach the Columbia River. But the cleanup process has been marred by massive cost overruns and unconscionable delays as for-profit enterprises continue to reap profits on the work that never quite gets done. Today, it looks like the cleanup project is going to once again be delayed and the adequacy of the cleanup compromised. I have with me today Esteban Ortiz, a program coordinator with Columbia Riverkeeper, to talk to us about a new so-called holistic agreement that was crafted behind closed doors. Welcome to KBOO and to the Old Mole Variety Hour, Esteban Ortiz.
Well, thank you, Patricia. Yeah, it's glad being here and definitely to talk about Hanford and definitely everything that's going on. And hopefully people get involved and learn about, submit public comments, especially when it comes to this, like you said, about the holistic negotiations that there were some public meetings just held throughout Washington and here in Hood River in Oregon.
Esteban, could you start by explaining the process behind this new agreement and why the process itself is so troubling?
Sure, definitely the big thing, and as a conflict analyst myself, you start conflict analyzing is this thing called common sense, right? And the big thing that, especially with this agreement, that it was between the Department of Energy, Environmental Protection Agency, and the Washington State Department of Ecology. It took 4 years, and it took a mediation process, for them to kind of agree on the grouting of some of this nuclear waste. And if you go to Ecology, Washington Ecology's website, you can find that Washington Ecology never agreed and said the only thing that they agreed on when it came to treatment of nuclear waste was the vitrification process. And that's a process that it gets turned into glass. And at the moment, that's what's been agreed upon. And then the big thing is when it comes to, like, moving of this waste, which I think this is the biggest thing that people here in the Pacific Northwest should be concerned about. Because can you imagine, nuclear waste going through your communities and then having to deal with if there's a spill or something, a derailment? I think, people here, especially in the Oregon area, have experienced those issues with, train derailments.
You brought up both grouting and these plans to ship the waste elsewhere, and I want to come back to both those points. But Esteban, were the Native American tribes involved in this recent negotiation?
That's one of the big things. All the Native American tribes, which is three main ones, it's Yakima Nation, the Confederate Tribes of Umatilla, and the Nez Perce. They have a permanent seat within the Hanford Advisory Board. In the first meeting, one of the first meetings that was held in Richland, Washington, Lorraine Contreras from, Yakima Nation and their program commented about what's the consulting process, especially with the tribes. And that's a big thing that I think still hasn't, happened, especially with the Department of Energy having put more emphasis and effort in consulting with the tribes, especially when it comes to the treatment of this nuclear waste.
Let's talk a little bit about that then. You talked about grouting and vitrification, and what's the issue there? Why are they moving to grouting? Why not vitrification, the turning it into glass?
I don't know if the public's aware, the big thing is when it comes to technology about treatment of nuclear waste, there's really no technology that exists. Big agreement that was done and agreed upon at first was this vitrification, but they had to finish this vit plan. It's called the Hanford Vit Plan. But of course, they've run into a lot of issues And right now, since deadlines are coming up with everything, you know, whose money is that? That's the taxpayers' money. I don't know if a lot of people are aware of that. If a deadline gets pushed back, and if they don't meet these deadlines, guess who ends up paying for it? It's you, the taxpayer. So at the end, and it was part of this holistic negotiations between the three agencies, that at the end, this bid plan is not working for vitrification. If we go back to the grouting, because at the end, you know, all these tanks have been leaking. Because imagine all these tanks were built in the 1940s during World War II. So you can imagine the leakage in all these tanks. And they, of course, got to do something with all these leaking tanks.
Well, let me see if I understand correctly then. The vitrification process apparently takes too long or is too costly, even though it's felt to be the best and safest technology. Is that correct?
No, basically the plan that's supposed to turn this waste, make it into glass, has never really worked. So that's a big
Oh.
problem, basically, that all this stuff is really never, when it comes to vitrification, the plan doesn't work. So they're really up against these deadlines. And like I said, you can imagine how long these tanks have been leaking. It gets to a point like, hey, well, we got to do something, right? And the only available technology that they have is this grouting.
And is the feeling like the grouting process is not going to be adequate over the long term to contain and keep the radioactive waste from escaping?
Yeah, that's a big thing, because especially, you know, if you want to transport any kind of nuclear waste, and they put an emphasis on low activity nuclear waste, and that's a big thing. That's the only thing they can kind of treat, because when it comes to high level waste, they can't really do anything about it, especially with grouting. But there's also the concerns. I know when during the Hood River meeting, that was the big concerns from the Oregon Department of Energy and people from the Oregon Cleanup Board, that what's really the danger posed to people that are basically trying to load and offload all this waste, and especially if it gets out and there's some incident, how much damage is going to happen?
And the waste at Hanford, you were talking about low level versus high level. My understanding is that much, if not all of that, is high level radioactive waste. Is that not correct?
Correct. And that's, you know, and that's the big mystery. I think everybody's aware of, like, when the Manhattan Project started, there was a lot of course, secrecy around it, right? And nothing much has changed. And at the end, you know, when it comes to Hanford, because that's where all the plutonium was built, all the, you know, for all these bombs. And then, you know, up until the 1980s, they were just producing all this plutonium, and that's when it got decommissioned. So you can imagine, you know, how much waste is in there. And, you know, there's a mixture of chemicals and all this waste that's produced. And there's tanks, of course, are there. And like you said, the biggest thing is that, right? Like, how much actually high level nuclear waste is there? Because one of the big things, and especially within the prior administration, the company Bechtel tried to lobby the last administration to reclassify the high level nuclear waste to low level so they can be able to treat it.
So they wanted to reclassify it, not because there was some new information about what they were dealing with, but because they wanted to apply a different process to containing it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and the big thing we always hear about, especially within the government budgets, this is like 10% of Department of Energy's budget, you know, just what happens in Hanford. And like the big thing that was communicated during these meetings that happened during the holistic negotiations, basically it's always they want to be advocating for more money. The technology really doesn't exist to treat high level waste. You know, you'll hear them say that we're trying to find out, you know, we're trying, we're learning. You know, basically it's like, you know, you send a kid into a science lab and, you know, see what works out, right? But at the end, you can imagine, you know, if this is the taxpayers' money, it's like, wouldn't you want to just, like I said, going back to the common sense? That's one of the questions I pose, is what can you really show for all the money that you have spent to try to treat all this nuclear waste? Have you even treated any high-level nuclear waste?
Well, it does raise questions in thinking about bringing back nuclear power and in the waste that it's going to generate, and we haven't dealt with the waste that we have generated already. So tell us a little bit more about this plan to ship the grouted high-level waste out of Hanford, where are they going to take it and who's going to accept it?
So right now, the only thing they're looking at shipping is the low level nuclear waste, because the big thing with the high level, basically, like I mentioned, you know, they haven't really had any technology that can treat it. And this FIT plant still not up and running. But the big thing, the two sites that they've mentioned so far, is one in Utah and the other one in Texas. And the big thing that happened, especially during the Hood River meeting here in Oregon, was that people from the Oregon Department of Energy asked, especially with the NEPA, you know, the rules and regulations about consulting communities that are going to be affected by this, is have you had any consultation with these communities where this waste is going to go through? Imagine if there's any kind of derailment or spill of this waste. Would you want to have any nuclear waste, you know, in your community or next door to where you live?
No, I would not. Are either of these sites Native American lands, or are they public lands?
I'm forgetting right now. I know it's somewhere in the mountains, and like in Texas, is in West Texas. But that's a big thing, right? When it comes to like all the tribal consultation, is like, and that's a big thing, the criticism towards the Department of Energy. How are you doing with that tribal consultation? And, you know, I think one of the big things that was asked during these meetings was that, have you consulted with any of the tribes? You know, there's still a lot of work to be done there. I know here at Columbia Riverkeeper, it's one of the big things we work with, like Yakima Nation and their EWRM program, which focuses on Hanford. They always try to, you know, emphasize if DOE is always consulting with them and, you know, letting them know about the latest updates when it comes to the treatment of the nuclear waste.
So what demands is Columbia Riverkeeper making? What would you all like to see happen?
Of course, you know, we have a petition in our website, but the big thing is that, right, having people to, you know, inform them about the whole process that's happened, you know, and that this grouting process is, especially that the Washington Department of Ecology had already kind of come out. They already had come out and didn't agree with it, because they just said that, you know, this wasn't as good as vitrification. And that's a big question, you know, how do you backtrack on something like this and not put the pressure on, especially Department of Energy, to say, hey, how did you reach to this agreement, you know, about grouting, where you had said that this was not good enough to treat? Even we're not even talking about the high nuclear waste, we're talking about the low activity nuclear waste. And here at Columbia Riverkeeper, like it mentions, you know, it's the Columbia River, it's the lifeblood of the Northwest. And, you know, we just can't keep, like you mentioned at the beginning, you know, using up this precious resources of the Columbia River.
So you don't have confidence in the grouting process and would like to keep the DOE on track with a vitrification process. Is that correct?
Yeah, basically, you know, like number one, you know, have the federal government treat tank waste as the law requires. Have the TPA agencies, which is the tri-party agreement agencies, provide adequate information and opportunities for the public on major proposed changes to the cleanup, which this is a big thing, right? How are you going to arrange some meetings? You know, first one was in Richland, which we all know that's a safe site, you know, for them to have the meetings. And then, of
course, why is it safe there?
Well, of course, you know, there's a lot of people that depend on those jobs.
People who are working at the site and depend on it for their livelihoods, in other words.
Yeah. And, you know, and to me, you know, as a person and, you know, as a Mexican-American male, the big thing sometimes, and as a person who lived there, that thing I understand is like, how much money is being spent on that, but nobody's really holding, especially DOE and all these contractors, accountable, right? And, you know, and like you mentioned to me as a person, you know, I tell these scientists, I said, well, I'm a social scientist, but look at history. Look, you know, we're paying for it. You know, people don't like to say it. And I think, you know, that was the big thing about all these scientists that participated in the Manhattan Project, that they said, oh, we're going to find the technology to deal with this and look at it. When Einstein, Oppenheimer, which would they, you know, it was a criticism of, you know, Oppenheimer about what this was really going to cost, and especially what the community was going to have to deal with in the future.
Is there any other demand that Columbia Riverkeeper is making other than relooking at vitrification and consultation with communities and with the tribes and some skepticism about the grouting alternative?
I think that's the biggest thing, you know, have the 2024 date for selecting grouting alternatives to be removed from the proposed changes. And like you mentioned, you know, finalization of the proposed changes that be delayed until tribal nations have been consulted with the tri-party agencies on the proposal. How can you rush with three meetings in the middle of summer negotiation process with, you know, all these government agencies that took 4 years and expect for the public to have an adequate response to what they had agreed upon?
Tell us how people can get involved.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, like I mentioned, if you go to our website, you know, we're really looking forward to have, you know, sign the petition. And actually right now, even Governor Kotick here in Oregon, you know, sent a letter regarding the recent meetings that were held, because just become aware and more involved here with Columbia Riverkeeper and our, you know, other partners like Hanford Challenge, Heart of America Northwest. You know, learn about the process, because, you know, that's the biggest thing that they don't want people to find out, what, you know, how much it's costing taxpayers and how they just keep it, you know, the whole phrase about delay, because all this is costing everybody, and it's going to affect people for generations. But yeah, you know, you can go to our website, you can go
which
to
is
other partners, ColumbiaRiverKeeper.org, and definitely go to our petition section, and you see there the take action on Hanford.
When are the next meetings scheduled for, and are those, can people attend those meetings online?
No, well, those meetings are over, and now what is open until September is a comment period. People can submit public comments, and that's about it. That's all you can really do right now at the moment, submit any public comments regarding these negotiations that happened.
Okay, so this happened pretty quickly, didn't it? They opened it up with this agreement that they crafted behind closed doors, had a very brief set of meetings, and then it was over. And now there's this public comment period.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and that's a big thing. And, you know, it doesn't take a nuclear physicist or an engineer to figure out that overall you could be hard on them about they didn't want public involvement. And if you look at the time, you know, in the areas they had these meetings, they didn't have one in Portland. They didn't have one in Seattle. If you had some of those meetings in some of these larger cities, you know, you would have had a bigger turnout. You know, in my opinion, that was a big thing, right? That if you talk to a lot of these, like, our organization and other organizations, that's the reason they choose the locations, especially like in the beginning of July, right after, you know, the 4th of July week, because people are still out on vacation or busy with other stuff. And at the end, they don't want people to find out much of what's happening.
What's your sense about how this is going to eventually play out? Do you think the agreement is going to get enacted as described, with all of its weaknesses?
Hanford depends on the current administrations to fund it. You know, there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of funds are needed to do this. But then at the end, where's the accountability, right? And you're looking at who's really, like you said, you know, what's, when it comes to this negotiations, that at the end of the year, we're going to have, you know, either we have a new administration or a different one, a continuation of the current one or a different one. There's a book written by the author Joshua Franks about Hanford, and we have a webinar also. And, you know, like he states in the biggest thing, that the reason he wrote that book is because he wants people to learn more about what's going on, right? And that's a big thing that I think if we, the taxpayers and people in the community, don't put that pressure on and hold them accountable, nothing's really going to happen.
Esteban, I'm going to leave the last word to you.
I believe we're at a critical moment. And like, you know, I think this affects us, especially here in the Pacific Northwest, and it's going to affect us for generations. And if we don't hold these federal agencies and state agencies accountable, you know, we can't really expect, especially right now when they're looking at, you know, what's the process going to be for transporting some of this nuclear waste, it might affect some of your communities.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning, Esteban. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it, too.
And this has been Patricia Kohlberg with the Old Mole Variety Hour.
Don't you know we've been had? Don't you know we've been too? Don't you know we've been misled?
We've been had, we've been took, we've been misled.
Had.